ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to a Super Bloom podcast. Hello, it's me, your host, Candace King. You know my love for television. I love it. And you know what else is even more fun? Watching TV with my best friend. And my best friends are my 7-year-old daughter, Florence King, and my 3-year-old daughter, Josephine King. And our show, like our favorite show in the whole world, is Dancing with the Stars. We love it. We love it. We cry, we laugh, we get up, we dance, we vote. We love it so much. We even saw when Dancing with the Stars went on tour last year, we went and we're going again. That's all my daughter wants for her birthday is to go back and watch it's all the stars get together and they perform dances live right in front of you. And it's amazing. And we love it. And it's something that we do as a family. And it's so much fun. And I honestly, it could be written off as like this idea of like, oh, this is just a show I watch with my kids. And, you know, it's family time. We get very emotionally invested in this show. And it's very fun and special to watch these entertainers. And if you don't know what the show is, you've probably been living under a rock, but I will explain it very quickly for you. But it's professional dancers that are very skilled choreographers and also ballroom dancers. And there are celebrities and entertainers and athletes that come on and have varying levels of skills of dancing. And they come on and they compete in like a ballroom dancing competition, and you watch them improve week by week by week, and you get to watch them perform live, and you get to vote and participate and cheer them on. And it is really incredible to watch people get out there, and it is like very vulnerable. I mean, you're performing in front of millions and millions and millions of people on live television dancing, which I mean, I just dancing like in my room, I'm just dancing for me, for the one person. Even when I dance in front of my kids, that's just two people. I cannot imagine dancing for millions and millions of people. So it is a very impressive thing. And it's very inspiring. And it's kind of like, you know, it's the same feeling I get when I watch a Disney movie, which is just like, I'm always just like rooting for the underdog. And everyone feels like all the people who come in to perform on the show for the first time feel like underdogs. And all of the dancers that are there coaching them just feel like these wonderful, wonderful like coaches that are also kind of teaching you along the way. And it feels like a family. It's so fun to watch. So anyway, that's my pitch for watching the show. Highly recommend it. And so I cannot be more excited to be sitting down. Like, I am freaking out. I am fangirling. Guys, I'm sitting down with Jenna Johnson-Chermosky, If you don't know her, she is a fan favorite from So You Think You Can Dance, but even more importantly, she is on Dancing with the Stars. Jenna was also the winner of season 26 of Dancing with the Stars, which she won partnered up with Olympian Adam Rippon. I don't know if you watched that season. It was fantastic. And when Jenna is not dancing and touring or on TV, she also enjoys hosting television programs such as CBS's Entertainment Tonight. And while Jenna may have reached what many might call the pinnacle of success in the dance world, she's been really open about the fact that that journey hasn't always been easy. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about mental health and body image issues. We're also going to talk about motherhood and getting back in touch with your body and your mind and yourself after having a baby. Jenna is married to Val Chmielewski, who is also on Dancing with the Stars. He has been crushing it this season. They have a beautiful love story. We're going to talk about their meeting and working together with a partner and also working with a partner while also having a child with your partner and, you know, and like all of the big feelings that come with that. Ugh, I'm just so excited for this conversation. Guys, let's just jump in. Let's just jump in. Here's my conversation with Dancing with the Stars star Jenna Johnson Chmielewski. I feel like I'm going to pick up my daughter from school and she's going to be very upset because it is like Dancing with the Stars is our show. Like, and this is a brand new show. This is something we both like. I'd watched it on and off, you know, throughout the years. There is a limit to how much reality TV you can watch. And this is more, this isn't reality TV. This is like a competition show. It's very different. I want to acknowledge.
If it's in the reality TV world,
but you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, yes. And I consume a lot of it. So I have to like pick and choose. But now this is, and also she's older now. And like, this is Dancing with the Stars is like me and my daughter's show to the point where that's all she wants for her birthday again this year is to see when you guys, oh. I don't know if you're going to go on the tour, but that's, we will be catching you guys in Nashville. It's our favorite thing to do together is watch the show every Tuesday.
That is the sweetest thing. I can't wait until my son's old enough where we have like things that we do together. I feel like I'm forcing him to do all the things that I love right now because he, you know, he doesn't know better. But man, I just can't wait to like experience those things.
It's funny because you go through phases. Like I also have an almost 3-year-old. So which I've been through this phase before. So first, it's basically like your kid's just like along for the ride with whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And then they have an opinion, but they only want to watch one thing. Like they only pick one movie and they have to watch it multiple times a day, every day for like months. And they kind of like, it becomes like this bizarre form of torture where you're like, I like, are you in charge now? I think you're in charge now. Now mommy's just doing whatever you want to do. My oldest, her version of that was Boss Baby. And then my youngest, her version of that was Grinch, the Grinch, but the Jim Carrey version. So the
The scary one.
I watched it every day for like 6 months. So that does a lot to you. Like still, I'm going to be in therapy processing that for a long time. But now,
never again.
But now I have this wonderful opportunity with my 7-year-old. And it is really special when you get to just sit down and enjoy something together and you're both emotionally invested. I mean, she was telling, you know, I had a sitter who also watches it. And she was like, Barry Williams is just doing such a great job. He's doing such a fan. And I'm like, how? She would never know who that is otherwise. And it's a very special thing. Have you, you've always been dancing. Like anyone who's on that show, I just assume like was dancing in utero before they were even born. That's the only way to be that good.
I mean, I would assume that I was dancing in utero, honestly. But yeah, I started when I was 3 and it wasn't something that like my parents made a decision to do to put me in. I fell into it myself. I have 2 older sisters that dance, and I was just being the one that was tagged along to all of like the rehearsals or drop off to dance class. And I have a sister that's 3 years older than me, and my mom said I would just like try to sneak into the class all the time. And eventually the teacher would just like let me stay in there and I'd be twirling in the back. So they signed me up for this 3-year-old's class, this little combo class. And my mom said that just my face would light up every time she would take me to this class. And truly from the youngest age I can remember, there's nothing else I ever really wanted to do. Like I always had hobbies and things, but it was just so clear from such a young age that I wanted to dance. Like, this was my path. This was my destiny. So yeah, I've done it for most of my life. And like you should in life, I've gone through phases of like, oh, do I love this anymore? Like, does this fulfill me as much as it used to? And every time I like kind of step back from it, I'm always reminded immediately why I love to do it and why it brings me so much happiness and why this is like my passion in life. So yeah, that's me and dance. That's my relationship with dance.
What I think is interesting specifically about Dancing with the Stars. And again, I'm a newbie, but like I'm in. Like I'm all the way in. Like I was balling at like the tribute to Len. Me and my 7-year-old Florence, we are very, very invested. But what I think is so beautiful and what I have found so wonderful about this show, especially being in like my mid 30s at this point, is that it is really important to kind of rediscover not just hobbies, but things that really ignite you and that make you passionate, and that it's not rare. I mean, it's very rare that the thing that you love to do that you're passionate about is also what you get to do for a job. And so what I think is really fun, even last year, watching one of the dancers with Charlie D'Amelio.
Oh, yeah.
Mark got to rediscover his love of dancing again, and she was rediscovering her love of dancing again. And then alongside that, you have people who've never danced before who are kind of like discovering it within themselves for the first time. And it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to watch at a time. And it's a very vulnerable thing. And a lot of people end up crying a lot. Like, when can you describe your first season of being on Dancing with the Stars and what that was like? Because we're talking about people who've been doing this, who you've been a part of the show for a while.
I joined the show in 2014. So it's almost been about 10 years of me being on the show, which is wild. I joined in the spring because we used to have 2 seasons on air, which was wild, a spring season and a fall season. And when I joined the show, I was 19, fresh out of high school. I had done a reality show called So You Think You Can Dance. And that was my first time ever on camera. And I grew up performing for live audiences. Like I was a competition kid, you know, and so I like thrived on that live aspect of connecting with audience members. And so when I did So You Think You Can Dance, it was the first time that I had to perform for a lens, but try to imagine that I'm performing for millions of people at home. And I was terrible. I really was not good. I didn't understand. It didn't compute. Anyway, so I then was asked to join Dancing with the Stars. And I had an incredible mentor. Her name is Mandy Moore. She's a very famous choreographer. She really helped me understand dancing on camera, performing for camera. It took me, when I joined the show, I wasn't immediately paired with a celebrity partner first. I was on what's called the troupe. And it's basically you're a professional, but you don't have a partner, but you're doing all of the group dances. We call them bumpers right before in and out of commercial breaks. And at the time, I was pretty pissed. I'm not going to lie that I was on troupe for so long. I think I was on troupe for like 6 seasons, which was crazy. But at the time, I was like, why am I not getting a celebrity partner yet? You know, like, I'm ready. I felt like I was more qualified than a lot of other people that had a celebrity, to be totally honest. But looking back now, I'm so grateful for that time that I had, because I really was able to learn the back end of everything. I was able to learn by working with and assisting somebody like Mandy Moore, who was choreographing on the show a lot, how to put together a piece for a massive stage with lighting, with concepts, for camera, what different like shots meant, wide shot, two shot, steady cam. Like, these are never words I'd ever heard of growing up in Utah, dancing on a competition stage, you know? And I also was able to work with people like Val, my husband now, Derek, Mark Ballas. They were asking me to come in and help them prep their routines. And so I really was on this journey and able to see how it was done on such a high and great level. And I just learned and absorbed so much. Cut to, I was then given a celebrity partner, and kind of back to your point, I've had everybody in between, somebody who's terrified of dancing, who does not want to do it, but signed up for the show to do something scary, to somebody who has danced in the past, who's learned to then love ballroom dancing. Like, I've just had so many different variations of it. And every time I get to partner with somebody new, I'm always reminded about what an incredible experience mm-hmm. this is. I don't think anybody realizes what they're signing up for. I think they think it's going to be fun, it's going to be chaotic, it's going to be intense, but it's all of those things, but it is so vulnerable. You are so invested in this journey. I think you learn a lot about yourself. You're a lot about your comfort zone, a lot about trust, a lot about partnering. And I say this to all of my partners, no matter if you make it to the very end, if you win, if you get eliminated week 4, week 8, you get eliminated and then you are left with like some serious depression because you've had such purpose for these 3 months and you're like so immersed in somebody dancing on you. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like such a wild whirlwind of an experience. And you're left empty for like a little bit, a couple weeks. And it's so funny. Even my partner this season, Tyson Beckford, he did not want to move to LA. He was like, oh, I don't want to go. I finally convinced him to move here. And then we got eliminated. And he was like, I don't want to go. This was so incredible. Like, I wanted to be here for 3 months. So it's really so beautiful. It's crazy in middle of the season, like right now, right? Like Val, I know his brain is about to explode, getting ready for like the finale and thinking of the end of this. But it's just such a gorgeous experience. It's a social experiment, really. I wish there was like a show about the behind the scenes of making the show.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm trying to get rid of saying guilty pleasure, but like something that I just really enjoy is I love Dumois. I talked about it on this podcast. I've been able to interview them as well. But they did like a Dancing with the Stars, like Dumois thing where someone had like written in because they'd gone to one of the tapings. And one of the things they just kept saying was just like, it's serious. Like it is, people are very, very focused. Like it's when the lights are on, everyone's performing. But I mean, people work really, really hard you know, on both sides, like as the choreographer and I'm sure the performer who's been invited in to like really to nail it. I mean, you are, a lot of people watch the show and a lot of people participate in, like, you need the votes to be able to stay on this show. Like, that's, I cannot imagine the tension going into performing for that many people, especially as people, anyone who comes on the show who's never performed like that in front of anyone. I've talked about it a little bit that earlier this year, one of the things I did for myself after New Year was I hired a choreographer here in Nashville to basically, I'd been in therapy, in talk therapy. I'd like gone back and like done some personal training just to get fit and back in my body a little bit. But I was like, it's not working. Like it's just, it just wasn't working. And I grew up dancing a little bit and I knew that I just needed to like kind of get back into just get back into my body and feel my skin and be in my bones and have my muscles be sore in places I forgot that I even had muscles. Mm-hmm. And so I called a choreographer and I was like, I'm too scared to go to a hip hop class at my age and at this point in my life. And I just, this is going to be my version of therapy. So basically, it was. And so we worked together for 5 months. I would see her every week, if not every other week. And my goal was to have like at least 10 dance sessions together to then have like a final little performance at the end that I could put together. But I mean, the amount of times I would come in.
That is incredible, by the way. Like, let's take a second to appreciate that. That's
we are amazing. Such a results-oriented, you know, country, yes. Honestly. I mean, I think the world, but also like here in America, we want like results. It's like we have to be busy. We're obsessed with busy culture. What are we getting out of it? You know, what can we show for it? A level of productivity. And this really wasn't about being productive. It was just for me. It wasn't for anybody else. And we don't stop to do that very often. And I didn't realize there was so, I mean, I would come in and I'd cry and I'd feel uncomfortable. Like I tried to get into a class and the teacher just kept being like, raise your head, like lift your head and look at yourself. Like stop being so scared to look at yourself. And we forget like how much of, you know, what there's a book that says like the body keeps score, but we will hold trauma and we will hold back joy or we will hold back from like releasing things that we have yet to release emotionally. And sometimes like I think dance is just such an incredible therapy. And that's what I enjoy watching in the show. I mean, for you, I mean, it is your job, but like what have you noticed that even in your years, not just working on the show, but like what you've, you know, but being on a show like that for 10 years, but then also being able to constantly be able to exercise your body and your emotions in that way as having that as an outlet. Like, what are some of the benefits of dance that you've seen as you've grown and been married and had business and, you know, all the things that come with being alive and becoming a mother? Like, what have you really held on to about your experience as a dancer?
Oh, man. I mean, everything you said is so true, and it's how I do feel. Growing up, I experienced a lot of, for the first time, I would say, like, depression or anxiety, and I didn't really know. I had such a great life growing up, and I felt guilty about wanting to voice any of that to anybody. So, and this was, like, before, like, mental health was really talked about and expressed, and I always felt like dance was my outlet, where it was the safest place for me to fully express myself. And there's nothing like putting on a song that speaks to you with lyrics and just moving your body. It doesn't have to be pretty. It can be ugly. It can be raw. It can be big, small. But I think that's the beautiful part about dance is it's an expression. It's expressing yourself without words. And I always felt the most comfortable in my own skin while dancing. And even after having a baby, I think people have been like, oh, wow, you like snap back into shape and all of this stuff. You must be going to the gym. I used to be obsessed with going to the gym and having a routine, and becoming a mother, I have no time for that. This is the first time in my life where I've never had a schedule for myself. I make sure that my child has a schedule, which I'm working on. I know I need to get like back into it just mentally for myself, you know? But dance has changed my body. I literally have not gone to the gym in probably like 4 to 5 months, which is in my past life would be crazy for me. But dance has brought me back to like my old body in a sense, you know, very different, obviously, after having a baby. But I'm so grateful that it's been like this beautiful exercise where it's reawakened my muscles and brought me back home. And even just, you know, I think with my relationship, it is very crazy that my husband and I do the same thing, and we do it on a show that's very public for everybody to watch. And we tried to hide our relationship for so long in the beginning stages for obvious reasons. And we were always outed because when we would dance together, people would know. People would just know.
Why did you want to hide it? Just for like professional HR reasons? Am I missing it?
Yeah, that. And no, we just, you know, obviously being in the public eye is very scary. And I was really new to it. I didn't know how to handle anything. None of my family comes from this background whatsoever. Also, I had just gotten my dream job. I wasn't trying to mess that up like very soon. And it's, you know, I don't want people talking about my business. So I wanted to be protective of it. But we loved dancing together. Like, we would always partner together. And when we would have group numbers on the show, we'd always just want to be each other's partner. And we were outed. We just were. People are like, looks like something's going on there. I'm like, what? But I think that's one of my favorite things about dance, too, is the chemistry that you can share. And it doesn't always have to be sexual or sensual. It can be. But I think that's also something that celebrities that join our show love, is there's this palpable connection that you've probably never experienced with anybody else. And it's like this bond, this trust, this touch and feel connection that, like, you know, it feels great to be touched. And it doesn't have to like mean anything other than like, I've got you. We're a team. We're going to do this amazing waltz together, and we're going to fly across the room. And it's just, it's so powerful. So yeah, dance has always been such an expression for me. Whether it's love, connection to myself, a team trust moment with my partner, it's so incredible. And again, what you were saying as well, of like, it's never too late to start dancing. You can do it at any age. You really can. It does. Maybe it's not going to be like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, but you can always move your body, and you should.
Yeah. Just hearing you talk about that makes me think of like, it is really nice to have that kind of creative intimacy, you know, where, and it's not sexual, like that's it. Everyone always wanted, but it's like, there is like a quiet trust and like a silent language of play that I think is really beautiful and that is really necessary in art. And when both people have that like agreement and it's a safe place to do it, it's just magical. And that's what I also think is so much fun is, but you have to allow yourself to do that. And you also have to have a partner who is trusting and not gonna, no one's taking advantage of that. And that like, and that is a really like important thing to be able to do when you're an artist, I think, especially when you're a storyteller with your body, which is what we both do in different ways. Like, I know for some people it would probably be very strange to be in a relationship with someone where I go to work, and if it says on a page that my character that I am playing and the story that I am telling involves two people kissing, and I will be kissing or, you know, portraying an act of intimacy with someone who is not my partner at the time. Yeah, of course, on paper, that is weird. It is strange. Like, even my 7-year-old, I've had to explain, well, like, mommy kisses a lot of boys on this show, and some mommy might be in her, and she's like, but at least you're not in your underpants. And I was like, oh God, like, no. I was like, well, I was on my underpants. It was different because someone was paying me. Never mind. That's not the way to do it. We will talk about this.
Still confusing.
Future moment. But it is, for a lot of people, that's hard to wrap your head around. Like, do you feel like you and your husband as both creatives, and also like you have to have that like beautiful like kind of creative intimacy with the partner that you are with on the show, like, have you guys always been able to do that and have that understanding within a relationship? Do you think that that's a personality trait? Do you think that's a professional trait of yours? Because not everyone can do that. Even people that work in film and television and dance, like not everyone can allow their partner the creative space to have that with someone else. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think people wonder this about us all the time, or they do even ask, like, do you get jealous? How do you do it? How do you feel? And I do bring up actors and actresses a lot of like, you know, it's part of the job. It's part of storytelling. But when talking about something like Dancing with the Stars, you can tell who has chemistry and who doesn't. And I would say 9 times out of 10, the couples on our show that have good chemistry are going to make it further and are going to do well. And they're going to get the audience engaged more often. And I think something else that's really interesting to know is like, since I was 10, I've been dancing with a boy one-on-one. And since Val was 8, he's been dancing with a girl. And that was my teammate. And this is what I grew up doing. And like, you know, body rolling on him or being nose to nose with him didn't mean like, oh my gosh, we're in an intimate relationship. But this was me creating art and creating emotion and feeling and sensation. And, you know, so yes, I think it is part of our art form. But in my specific relationship, I think when we were dating and we were really fresh, I didn't have that trust yet. And I would tend to get a little bit jealous because it was hard for me to remove because we weren't secure in our relationship yet. But once we, you know, we had that commitment to each other, I love watching him do what he does. And I think he feels the same way for me. And there's nothing more special than watching your person be at their highest level. And that's when he's like soaring. He's has chemistry with his partner. He's committed to the season, the dance, you know? So I love that about our relationship, that we have this trust and this understanding of one another's work and talents that we can allow ourselves to do that, yeah. You know, and be able to do it full heartedly. So I think it is a crazy concept for some people to be like, how do you do that? Like, are you okay with that? And yeah, I feel confident in saying yes. But in obviously like early stages, yeah, it was hard. Although I knew what he was doing and why he had to do it. Yeah. But I will say too, at the time when we were in our early stages of our relationship, I was also not partnered with a celebrity yet. And as soon as I got my partner, it all made sense as well. So
I am so envious of people that can work with their partners. I think it's like such a beautiful honoring of not only a relationship, but also, you know, what I think it's beautiful too when I know we're not like to just jump through the gender of it, but like when a man is willing to also honor his like female person and partner and their word and their art and their talent and like listen, you know, it takes two people to be able to work together. But when one person doesn't say like, no, it can only be my thing or like take up suck all the air out of the room. That's a very beautiful partnership and relationship that I think a lot of people would have a hard time with. I mean, and also I think you can still have to take time to get there. But obviously you guys are not only able to have a marriage and a family life, but also you work together and you see each other at work and you're competing against each other, you know, for the show. But like how, I know you get asked about this all the time.
No. I think we're always learning and growing and evolving. And we joined the show as two very strong individuals in our craft. You know, I was always like an alpha feeling how I would do things and say things or how I would choreograph. And he was the same way. And so when we started dating or we became this partnership, I think people were like, oh, yeah, you guys just know how to work together, right? Like it's really, really easy. And it really took us some time to figure out how to work together and be comfortable with it and be okay with it and then come home and not be in work mode and just be in like human mode, because there's no book on like, how do you work with your significant other? There's, I wish there was, because I would read it really quickly. Maybe I should write one. But I'm really proud of us in the work that we've done to accommodate one another and to make it work. But like, I tell my dad this all the time. I'm like, can you imagine? He's a doctor. I'm like, can you imagine if mom was in on your surgeries being like, honey, that was too deep. Nope. You got to stitch it up a little bit better. Like, he would go absolutely insane. And so I think that we've had to find a good balance of like listening to one another. Again, I'm speaking more, we work on Dancing with Stars together, but we also teach a lot together on conventions. And so we have to be respectful of each other's craft and opinion, because we're both very opinionated. But on the flip side, there is nothing more magical than being able to do your biggest passion in life with the person you love most. It is euphoric. When I get to dance with him and when we get to perform together, it's an indescribable feeling, you know? And I think that's why people do love watching us move together and dance together and work together. But yeah, it did take some time. And I think that's when now when people ask us, you know, do you want your son to dance? Obviously, I would feel bad not being able to give him all of our resources in the dance world, you know, but dance is such our life and that's all we know. I'd love to be an idiot mom as a tennis mom or a soccer mom that brings like Kool-Aid and cookies to practice. You know, it just, I don't want everything that we know and do to be dance. Yes, we love it. It's amazing. We're so lucky to be able to do this. But I think we have a lot more to offer than just this. So I want to expand. But yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing because if he loves it, yes, obviously, I'd love for him to do it and experience it with us. That would be amazing. But, you know, it is a very dance-heavy family. My freaking brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, we're all on Dancing with the Stars. Like, it's a lot.
How is it going through pregnancy and the fourth trimester, which I know everyone refers to as postpartum. I also like to refer to it as the fourth trimester. Because the reality is, like, what I... You know, I really thought the first time around having a baby, I'm like, oh, great. You like, you get pregnant and then you like cook it for like 9 months and then you pop it out and then you like, you know, then you have a baby and then it's cool. And then like eventually you wear jeans again and then it's great. And but it's really only like a 9 month thing. And then and the reality, which I know now, especially doing it twice, and I can't even imagine another time, would be that the reality is it is kind of like a 2 year process. You know, it's like the getting pregnant, being pregnant. The fourth trimester is really just an additional like couple months of being pregnant while your body is, you know, going like your literal organs are shrinking back down to their regular size.
Yes.
And then there's then like the sleep deprivation, just surviving the first year of your child being alive. And it really is kind of like a full 2 year process that physically and emotionally affects the person carrying the child the most. And when you, I can't, like when you're a working parent and you're seeing your significant other who is right, even if they're right there alongside of you every step of the way to like get you everything that you're craving or rock the baby just as many times in the middle of the night, there are still things that have been asked of you and your body and your psyche that is not asked of the other person. And I would find it very difficult at times, like even in my rational brain being like, this is just part of it and you're okay, but having this level of expectation to want to be operating as much as other people did, whether it was a partner or whether it was, you know, people in my industry that didn't have children, but and then wanting to operate just as much as they were at that time. And I found it to be very difficult. Like for you, were you prepared for that period of time, or was it hard to be surrounded by everyone that you love that you work with, and then also knowing that there is only so, at a certain point, there's only so much you can do?
It was, I knew that, and it's so wild that you said the word 2 years, because I literally just yesterday had this conversation with somebody and I said, you know, it's been about 2 years since I've really been able to dance do what I'm best at. And it has been 2 years since I've been back on the show, from the last season of, and then me getting pregnant and then having the baby and then back to the season. And I knew it'd be an adjustment. And, you know, obviously those first couple of months right after having a baby is just survival mode. You're just exhausted and you have no control, I feel like, of anything, really, which is really hard for me to learn how to let go. And I feel like I've learned a little bit of that. I'm still learning. But, you know, to be completely transparent, I was really looking forward to being back on the show and finding a piece of me, because I've always wanted to be a mother, and it is the greatest calling, the greatest role I will ever play. And I love it more than anything. But there's also a part of, there's a person that lived for 28 years before being a mother that was excellent at a craft and that had severe passions for it, you know? And so I think I was really excited to be back dancing and to be creative and to work hard and to have my body hurt and to, you know, be in that mental capacity of like an athlete again. And I was eliminated earlier than expected. And it really rocked me more than I was expecting, because I didn't do last season. I was pregnant at the time and I was totally fine sitting out and totally fine watching from the sidelines. And I think, I'm not sure why, but it just, yeah, I was not expecting it. And I think I was craving to be that person again of like, who am I? Or what can I be now that I am a mother? And people kept saying to me, oh, you know what? Well, now you get to be at home with Rome. Now you get to be back with your baby, which yes, yes. And I love that. But I also, you know, I also am this other person. I'm a dancer. I'm a choreographer. I have so much to give, so much that I was looking forward to. So that kind of has thrown me for a couple of weeks. I feel like I'm now like, I've come to terms with it. And I've been given some opportunities to create like the Len Goodman tribute and everything that really fulfilled me. But yeah, it's been interesting. I was not expecting this at all. Yeah. And I think that just comes with navigating motherhood and also being able to still give yourself time to express yourself in whatever form or fashion that is, and remind yourself that you are excellent in so many other things and you're an excellent mother, you know? So I like felt guilty about like, oh my gosh, am I not fulfilled just being at home with my baby, you know? Like, why am I not getting complete satisfaction just doing that? You know, because I'd wanted a baby for so long, and I had a really hard time getting pregnant, and that's all I thought about. And so I think that, yeah, it's been interesting.
Which and can also just go towards like society and the patriarchy and like why we think we deserve more than just like staying home. Like there are so many men in the world that all they want is to like have a family and have children, but also still be able to go and work and have an identity and provide. Yeah. And like, we are just because they like cook in a uterus, that like, if you have a uterus just because they're cooking in there, doesn't mean that like suddenly once you have brought life into this world, that
you're like
everything
stripped
else
of everything else.
Yes.
You
because
know?
It's not just the goals that you had thought that you had set for yourself in the future. It's all the work that you have done leading up to that point.
Exactly.
And making sure that it means something. Yeah. And that doesn't have to go away either. But it like that first year with the first child is such a doozy. I was working, I was doing my final season of The Vampire Diaries, and their dad, he at the time, he's a musician, and at the time he was on the road. And so my ex-husband was like constantly traveling and doing everything he could to like be with my stepdaughters and be a support system for me. But there's only, you know, he couldn't clone himself and be three places at once. So yeah. I was, you know, filming on my own with my, you know, with a 6 week to a year old a lot of the time, and filming nights and filming long days. And I just remember being at work and like, I couldn't remember my lines. I just could not. And I'm someone that, it doesn't mean that I was going to work perfect by any means, but like I would show up knowing what I was doing that day.
Yeah.
I would. And I could show up and deliver. And I could not freaking deliver. And I just remember sitting there to the point where we had like a, I mentioned this, but we had like a girl that was working on the show a little bit, and she was like a newbie, and she'd start repeating my lines back to me that I couldn't remember. And even my buddies in the camera department were like, what's going on with you? And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, what is wrong with me? I mean, I was up till 2 a.m. and I was feeding every couple hours. And I was reading my lines. So I was like, yeah. And I was just like, why can't I get it together? And I couldn't. I'm like, why can't I be the person that I was? Why can't my clothes fit the way that they used to, and this be the way that it used to, and I do a sit up the way that I used to? And it took me even until like my second child, and then like having to say, oh, I don't think I am the same person that I used to be. Yes. And then it took being, you know, going through like a separation and a divorce, and then being on like being within myself, which, and like having to rediscover my heart and my mind and my body and like all those things, like, you know, as a then 36-year-old woman with like two kids, and life just looks very different. Mm-hmm. But that brought me to like, you know, going back to dance classes and being like, oh, my body doesn't move the way that it used to there, but it moves in a whole different, beautiful way here. And like, maybe I'm not meant to be the person that I was. And maybe it's time to start leaning into this new person that I am, because she's like, she's not here anymore. Like, I have to be who I am now.
That's so beautiful. And that's truly how I feel right now, that I'm learning and I'm evolving. And I think there's so many amazing things that I have learned from these past couple of months, where this pregnancy motherhood journey is, I haven't had a level of creativity like I have after having my son or even being pregnant. I felt like I was just flooded with like inspiration. And I think, you know what it was, before I was pregnant, I worried all the time, and I was like, I was a mental head case, just like always questioning myself. Is this a good decision to do? Like, will that really translate to the audience? Like, I always just question myself as an artist. And I don't know if it's because I look at this little beam of squishy love, but I just don't second guess myself as much. And I feel like I'm way more productive with my time. I feel like I'm a lot more confident in myself, just like, here I am. You know, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I'm totally fine not wearing makeup anymore. I'm fine looking like an absolute trash bag, because maybe I have so much a greater purpose and a greater understanding of life. And like, I don't know. It's really amazing. But yes, I think I am a different person, and I'm evolving into a different person, and that's okay. And that's actually great. I think even in, you know, my husband and I, we say this all the time of like, I feel like we've been in many different relationships within our own relationship, because you are always evolving. And I don't know why I expected that I was going to grow a human in my body, birth him, try to take care of him, and be back to old Jenna. Like, I'm not sure why I put that expectation on myself. And so I think exactly what you said, and I'm going to continue to learn and grow and evolve. But yeah, I think I'm evolving into a different person, and I think it's a better person, and I'm so grateful for that.
Do you feel like there's a part of it, like, this could be so cheesy, and this could just completely fall on its face, but we're like, before having a child, I feel like it's like the ballet of life, and you want to like be everything put together, and you want to like, the level of perfectionism is like, can be a driving force, but also suffocating.
Suffocating is the right word. Yes.
But like all the things. And then I think what can be really beautiful about parenthood, if you are in a space that allows it and allow and create that space for yourself, is then it becomes the modern dance where like you have to have the chaos to make it fucking mean something. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what makes it beautiful, is like, you're not holding your breath. You're actually breathing into it. And it's like so fun to watch and be in.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I think also, I mean, you know, but it's very, we live in a very selfish industry, you know, where you're always trying to like promote yourself and to be the best or to get hired or, you know, and I think that I've lost a level of selfishness because I just don't have time for it. And because I care so much more about this somebody else. And I'm not obsessing over like, oh, well, why didn't I get that? Or why can't I do this? Or what? I don't have time for that. And I think I'm so happy that I don't get to be as selfish anymore because, again, I am. I still have an ego. But, yeah, I think that's been such an incredible part of motherhood is you're so focused on somebody else. And I feel like I'm more patient. I'm kinder. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot nicer, according to my husband. So
I think one of my favorite things about the unsuspecting part about parenthood that I didn't see coming was when like you try to instill these things and these thoughts, you know, we're the gentle parenting, you know, generation. Mm-hmm. That's like, let's process these feelings and let's talk about it. Even though mommy's about to scream her freaking head off because if we do this one more time.
Yeah.
But like we're the gentle parenting generation and the generation obsessed with therapy. And it's really interesting when like you start applying that, you try to teach your children these things. And when you then turn into the one that's having a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, where I'll get like, I'm frustrated because I'm running late. And I'm like, oh, mommy forgot this thing in the house. And now I'm going to be late for you. And I have like my little 7-year-old just put her hand on my shoulder and be like, just breathe. It's okay. we'll get there in time. Like, and then that's when you just like, of course, the waterworks then come out and you're just like, I understand the meaning of life. And this is everything that I never knew could exist. And, and that they're paying attention and that it like, it becomes like this other version of like the dance, you know, it's a whole other dance that is really beautiful to have with this little person you brought into the world.
I think it's also so interesting. What you said just brought something up, but I think before as well, I was so afraid to fail in life, in my career and whatever. And I feel like as a mother, I feel like I'm constantly failing or I'm like confronted with these like, oh, I'm not doing good enough, or like failure is more part of my everyday life just because that's freaking life. And it's like motherhood, you know, you're not always going to be the best. And I think that's something that's also really been so helpful for me, is to not be so afraid of that. Like, yeah. I'm not always going to have a clean house, and I'm not always going to have my laundry done, and I'm going to forget this, and my child has one sock on, and I'm late to the doctor's appointment, and all of these things. But like, there's this level of perfectionism that you just like have to strip away. And I think for me in life, that's a great quality that I need. I need to be stripped of that. So,
well, and you're part of a, like, I know you have your Dancing with the Stars team, but now you're also part of like the mom team.
Yeah.
And there's no team like the mom team. The mom team gets you through the airport. The mom team like helps you out in a checkout line. The mom team, like I was with my kids at the Botanical Gardens, and I just spent all this money on like the extra tour of the thing and the thing. And like, of course, right when we get in, like my kid just like blows up her diaper, and I forgot the diaper bag. Like, I just completely forgot, and it was bad. Like, it wasn't one of those where I'm like, maybe we can just like pretend it doesn't, it like it existed, it was here. And I just was like, well, I'm gonna try for 5 minutes to see if I can walk by another mom. And lo and behold, you walk by a mom, and I was like, hey, you have any diapers and wipes? She's like, what size you need? How many wipes? You know what? Take the whole thing. I got a whole extra. Like, it's a really wonderful team to be a part of. So I think, like, you know, just like I'm sure when you have new partners that come in that I'm like, I've never done this before. Yeah. And like, I don't want to fail. And you're like, you're not failing, you're learning. And you've got to like, you've got to trip up the steps to find your rhythm a little bit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to forget a diaper. Because then it's like, then you can bring a whole bunch of extra ones, and then you help up the other mom that like forgot the diaper next time. And it's the coolest team ever.
The mom club is absolutely a thing, and the coolest group and most supportive group I feel like I've been able to join. I'm here for it. I you know, everyone was like, oh, telling me about like, oh, the mommy, even just like mommy friend group or whatever, but it's real.
It's and real. I know.
It is real. And I'm
they're
so
the ride or dies.
Proud to be part of it.
Yeah. It's the best. Okay. So before I let you go, I want to ask just like a couple random Dancing with the Stars questions.
Please.
That are just like fun and silly and that I need to know. Okay. How often do you guys have to spray tan? Like, what Ooh. Is that spray tan bill? Like, are you guys just tanning all the time? And it is so even. It looks fantastic.
You would never know, but I have the world's most pale skin. I am see-through almost at best, but you will never know because we get sprayed every Monday night. Before
Dream.
Show days. Shout out to our spray tan lady. Her name is Julie. She's been spraying us for like freaking 15 years. She's the
Julie
one.
Doing the Lord's work. Like,
she
you guys
really
look fantastic. It's
is.
Hard to get a good spray tan.
It is. Yeah. So every week.
When you guys are choreographing the dances for your partners, like, how much of that is just, are you just constantly thinking about like the next routine, the next routine, the next routine? Like, or do you work with other people, or is it really just on you?
It is on you. Obviously, you try to prep with somebody so you can feel how it's actually going to feel on your partner. So yeah, Val and I will prep together, or I'll get an assistant to come in. Usually we try to do about 2 weeks out of choreography. So you're already prepped for your week ahead that you're going to be rehearsing that week. And then by like that Saturday, Sunday, you should already be prepping the next week. So when it's show day on Tuesday and then you wake up on Wednesday, you're not overwhelmed with all of this stress of, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to teach my partner today. You know, like, you don't have a day off ever. So I always like to be prepared. Some people can just vibe and go in the room and be on the spot. That, in my personality does not work. I love to be prepared. So I'm trying to do it like 2 weeks in advance.
What is there a guest that sticks out? Is there someone who's come on the show that you've seen like the biggest turn in where they came in and were like, ugh, like I can't believe I'm here. And then suddenly by the end of it, they were like, this is the best experience of my entire life. And I like, or someone who's just completely surprised you.
There are so many. I wasn't partnered with him, but Terrell Owens, he's a football player. And I remember he kind of came in and he was very like, very cool energy, you know, and he kept making it. I think he made it to like week 8. And when he got it eliminated week 8, he was so proud. And he came back for the finale and he was like telling everyone, he's like, yeah, man, like I made it to week 8, like all of this stuff. It was so endearing and so sweet. And I really watched him evolve like as a dancer. And then I would say personally for me, JoJo Siwa, she was super fan of the show. And I knew that she was going to love the experience, but she came in and I tease her about this all the time, but she came in and with her team, she was like, I need to wear 5 colors minimum. It all has to be rhinestoned head to toe, blah, 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 blah.
I love me some JoJo Siwa.
And so for the first week, I was like, okay, I'll let this rock 1 week and then she's going to learn to trust. And, you know, it was so funny to see her. Also, week 1, she refused to get a spray tan. She like didn't want to do it. I was like, okay, you just wait. By the end, this girl was wearing, and she wanted to be literally covered head to toe, which to each their own, yes. By the end, this girl was wearing deep Vs, low backs. We were wearing maybe 1 color, also a see-through nude, you know what I mean? And she was getting spray tanned every week, and she just evolved. She was like so comfortable in her own skin and like being sexy and not being afraid of that. So that was one of my favorite things. I really felt like I watched her be a kid and like evolve into a woman. And it was awesome. It was amazing.
And I loved that it was the same sex dance part. It was the first time, right?
Yeah. And it just, that will forever be my favorite season. It meant more to me, like personally, than any like mirror ball or this or that. Just, I think every week we were pushing the boundaries and making such an impact that it was the most fulfilling thing I've ever done on TV. So, yeah.
Is winning the mirror ball like, is it just the best night ever? Do you feel like it's like the Oscar award winning thing? Or is it like at that point, everyone's just having fun? Or does it feel like, no, I have to win? Like, does everyone get so fired up at the end?
Yes. And I've never won an Oscar, but I would assume that's what it feels like. It's insane. And yeah. To hear your name called and then to have everybody swarm the floor, lift you up, celebrate you, it's just amazing. And unfortunately, for 2 years in a row, I got second place. And I was like, there is nothing worse than second place. Like, it really is terrible because they announce fourth, third, and then they just have second and first sitting there before they announce who wins. So they don't even say your freaking name. They don't even say anything. It's just like, oh, this is our winner. And then you're just like sitting there clapping for the other couple. So yeah, winning the mirror ball is pretty great.
Yeah. And it was so sad to see Lynn Goodman pass.
Yes.
Is there a moment in your years in the past decade of being working around him with him that sticks out or something that he said to you that you hold on to?
You know, we don't have a lot of communication with the judges. Fairness reasons, obviously. Yeah, we really keep separated until show days. There's 2 things. So every year they have like a judge's pick or something where you have a judge pick a dance for you that they want you to like redeem yourselves with. And then they get to come into your rehearsal and kind of like work with you, give you some tips. And I had never had Len. I had like Carrie Ann, I've had Derek, I've had Bruno, and I'd never had Len in all of my seasons. And my season with JoJo, which was my last season that he did while he was alive, he was our judge and he came in and he worked with us on this Argentine tango. And he was fairly old already at that time. And I watched him, something like sparked in his eye, and this man was gliding around, like doing this swanky Argentine tango, and he would like was so sassy about it. It was the sweetest thing. I'd never seen him dance like that. And he was just like, come on, girls, this is what we got to do, in his little British accent, and he was like doing these swivels. It was so sweet and endearing to see. But then just in general, I think as a human, well, for dancers, there's always that coach that was so hard on you, that held you accountable for your mistakes, for your success, all of that. You know, it was that hard coach that was that tough love, but you always wanted to impress the most. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Len was to me personally, but I feel like to a lot of us on the show, he was that person that held us accountable. And he would let us know when we were wrong, but to get praise from him or to get a 10 from Len was the most fulfilling thing you could do. And you really knew that you did it that week or you made it. So I just think his essence, his spirit is so missed, and was that like coach, you know, he was our coach. Man, what a legacy though he left. Yeah. And I'm really grateful that we got to celebrate him this past season.
Yeah, no, I am too. It was very powerful to watch. Well, Jenna, I could just talk to you all day long.
Same.
Truly, truly. And I'm so excited to see the rest of the season. I too was very disappointed when you and Tyson were sent home.
Thanks.
Me and Florence were just like, what? This is way too early. But I'm very excited to see what you're going to have cooking up for future seasons.
Thank you. It's only going
to get better from here. Before I let you go, I just want to kind of do a little conversation cool down. I like to ask all my guests 5 simple questions before I say goodbye. Just the first thing that pops into your head. Jenna, what is something that you like?
I like family time. I like laughing. I like kombucha.
What kind of kombucha? Are you like a make your own kombucha? Is there a specific brand? Is there a specific kind, flavor?
Wild Tonic. It's in this blue bottle. It looks like a gin bottle. It is the best kombucha you'll ever have in your whole entire life. And I like spray tans.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes, justice for the spray tan. I love it. I love a good spray tan. Love a good spray tan. But it's hard to find someone who's good at it because I too am a pale, pale person and I can look very crazy.
Yes.
I can look very just, I can, it's, you have to spray tan carefully. Yes.
At your own risk.
Yes, at your own risk. Jenna, what is something that you know?
I know I'm worthy. I know that I have worth and things to give and to receive, but I think it's taken me a long time to know confidently that I am worthy, and I'm proud of that phrase.
What is something that you hate?
I hate comparison. It really robs you of joy and energy.
What is something that you love that is not your family, pets, child, children, just something that you personally, for Jenna, what's something that you love?
I love music. It always speaks to my soul. It always fits any mood that I'm in. And I don't know if I could live life without music. I really don't.
What are you listening to right now?
Oh, I am all over the place. My husband makes fun of me so bad. He's like, I don't ever know where you're at. I'm either giving you like Drake on repeat, some like Rihanna, or I'm giving you some like deep, I'm in my feels, depressed mood of like Dermot Kennedy or Bon Iver or Damien Rice, like some good hearty lyrics that are going to make you sob. Yeah. Right up my alley.
Or you're like, where's the camera? Slow pan into this one tear falling down my eye while it's raining and I stare out the window.
Yeah. Light a candle in the back as well.
Yeah. And last but not least, what is a quirky little fact about you?
Quirky little fact. I mean, this is gross, but I'm an incredible burper. I love burping, and some people get grossed out by that, but it really releases so much air and you just feel so much better. So I'm a pro burper. And yeah, I represented the United States for the World Championships. It's like as close as you can get to the Olympics in ballroom dancing. And
okay, I thought you were going to say, I was like, in burping? What? Is this a thing?
Work. Can you imagine? No, but it was held in China. It was held in Beijing, China. And my parents and I, they came with me and we were being tourists and we walked around the Forbidden City and we were walking around and no joke, I heard the loudest, most gorgeous belches in public. And it was like left, right, and center. Everyone was just burping freely and proudly. And I was like, I belong here. This is where I'm meant to be. I was just like shocked. But yeah, so there you have. I like to burp.
Well, I love it. And I love that for you. And let's bring back the burp in 2024. You know,
we really should.
Bring back the burp. Well, and I will tell you that's going to come in handy as a parent because my 7-year-old is like very disappointed that I cannot burp on command. And she keeps trying to teach me and be like, God, Mom, you're so embarrassing. You can really step up your game. So just so you know, Jenna, you are on the path to be a fantastic mother, one burp at a time.
Tell Florence to give me a call anytime. I'll burp
Perfect.
For her.
Perfect. A Super Bloom podcast is hosted by me, Candace King, produced by Melissa D. Monts and Diamond Imprint Productions, edited by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and advertising partnership with Acast.